The views expressed on this program are those of its hosts and do not necessarily represent the views of the staff or management of this radio station. Welcome to Clearing the Static. News, analysis, and discussion of radio and television in the United States and Canada. Your hosts, The Radio Kid and Jake Longwell.
From Clearing the Static, this is Radio News Now with the Radio Kid.
Welcome to the only newscast to go to when your radio station changes format. For this week, ending press time April 17th, this is your Radio News Now, and I am the Radio Kid reporting. Well, most of the industry has been away at the NAB convention in Las Vegas. Therefore, it's a quiet week in radio this week. But we do have some news starting in Las Vegas, where the NAB convention was rocked with a possible format change. On Sunday evening, KPLV 93.1, owned by iHeartMedia, started stunting, promoting itself as What Is 93.1, with an accompanying Twitter hashtag. The station had been CHR as My 93.1, and continued to play CHR music through the stunting. On Friday, April 10th, we knew exactly what 93.1 was. 93.1, The Party. You're probably saying, wait, that sounds very familiar. It should. 93.1, The Party, was the nickname for the radio station from 2006 to 2010. During that time, the station was a rhythmic AC station, morphing to CHR. It then became 93.1 All the Hits, before becoming My 93.1 in 2012. Now, this new party is a rhythmic CHR, with more of a rhythmic lean to it. You can stream the station at its old website, my931.com. Well, in Memphis, Tennessee, there are more places to do some guessing, as 1180 WUMY and its associated translators drop their big country format and go Guess FM. Guess FM is already heard on WGUE 830 and a translator at 99.3. But now it's being heard at the 1180 signal plus two other translators. 100.1 and 105.5. 99.3 covers the east end of Memphis, 100.1 the south end, 105.5 downtown. The AMs are an afterthought for the classic hit station, which has hired Steve Conley to do afternoon drive. You can stream the station at guessfm.com. Turning now to a possible format change in Port Huron, Michigan, as WHLS 1450 and WHLX 1480 could see a new format. Monday morning, April 20th, there are promotions for a change at the station, which is currently Classic Hits, The Cruise. Radio First Broadcasting owns the stations, and they're promoting a change April 20th at 10:55 a.m. RadioInsight.com has discovered the web domain rock1055.com, which was registered on March 30th. This means that the station will most likely go rock. The 105.5 in the branding refers to a translator. We will keep you posted on this new radio station and possibly let you hear what it sounds like. In Eugene, Oregon, Cumulus Communications is flipping the format at KSCR 1320. It's dropping its info radio business format for Spanish Radio Unica on Monday, April 20th. It will serve 22,000 Spanish-speaking people in the Eugene-Springfield area. Pablo Hernandez will be programming the station. No further information is available on the station, who's had a business format since 2010 and a sports format before that. Turning now to Santa Rosa, California, is a change likely at KTRY 106.3? Radio Insight seems to think so, and it believes there's a new branding on the way. Lance Venta, the chief investigator over at Radio Insight, discovered 1063thebull.com for KTRY. This will better position the station to compete against Young Country Froggy KFGY 92.9. In the meantime, you can stream the station at KTRY.com. Turning to a channel development at SiriusXM, NBC Sports Radio is getting two channels on the lineup. They're getting Channel 213 on Sirius and Channel 212 on XM. Those channels were previously slotted for play-by-play use. This will start on May 1st. Turning to some developments now in Canada, in Chatham, Kent, and Windsor, Ontario. RadioInsight.com reporting that CKUE 95.1 and its 100.7 booster in Windsor have dropped their light 95.9 format in favor of Variety Hits Cool FM. As a result, George Brooks, who was the longtime morning host, is retiring after 35 years in the Chatham-Kent market. Jay Stevens is the new PD of the station, which is playing pop rock hits from the 80s through today. He stated Bon Jovi, Queen, INXS, Pink, John Mellencamp, Def Leppard, Fleetwood Mac, and Maroon 5 as core artists. Stevens stated in a press release, "I'm extremely proud to return to my roots and help this wonderful team bring a cool new brand to the Windsor and Chatham-Kent markets. By playing it all, we'll be many things to many people, but the one constant is that we'll definitely be cool." Now, there is no dedicated website, at least that we could find, for the new format, but it is available on TuneIn. Just type in CKUE on the TuneIn search page. Well, let's just say that you're in Colorado, all right? And you are, oh, I don't know, SoCo Radio. And you've been given the chance to LMA an ESPN radio station that isn't doing very well. The station in question, KREL. Now, you're in one of the states that legalizes marijuana, and you want to do something different with the radio station. And April 20th is coming up, which 420 means something very specific in marijuana terms, apparently. And so you want to do something unique with the radio station. And you're tired of losing money, so what do you do? Well, if you are SoCo Radio, apparently you launch an all-marijuana talk radio station. Pot Talk, as they call it. The radio station is going by the branding KHI 1580 and has reserved KHIG call letters. There are three local shows on the schedule, plus national pro-marijuana programming and news from the medical network. The morning show is hosted by the Diablo, DR Drive. It's Wake and Bake from 7 to 9 a.m. High Noon will air from noon to 1. And High Drive will run from 5 to 7 p.m. Now, there is some concern among some officials about this radio station, especially given that it is a marijuana promotional tool, so to speak, and talks about using it for recreational use. And there is some concern as to how this station will be able to survive, especially since technically they are encouraging the breaking of federal law, even though marijuana is legal by state law. The station is owned by Pilgrim Communications, but again is being LMA'd by SoCo Radio. Now, if you want to check this thing out, it is available on letstalkpot.com. Again, that's letstalkpot.com. Turning to some national news, Radio Disney is back in radio. Yes, I think you heard me. Radio Disney is back in radio, but this time they'll be on HD radio. They'll be on as many as 60 HD radio stations, being propped up by the HD Ad Network and HD Monitoring Network. The ad network is already running in 10 markets, which will allow national platforms for HD channels. So don't be surprised to see people like iHeartMedia get involved in this, and will also allow for the monitoring and the improvement in quality of HD radio signals. Now, Radio Disney is only being heard right now on KCYEHD2. Now, turning to some other Radio Disney news, could they potentially be selling the Indianapolis FM 98.3 to iHeart? That's what Radio Insight seems to think. As on Sunday, Radio Insight discovered Big983Indy.com, leading to speculation that they could buy it and flip it to country, becoming the third country in the market against WFMS and Hank WLHK. Stay tuned on this one. Turning to a development in New Hampshire and Maine, Port Broadcasting has been allowed to LMA WXEX 1540 Exeter, New Hampshire, and 92.1 WXEX FM Sanford, Maine. They already own WWSF in Sanford and WNBP in Newburyport, Massachusetts. The owners of WXEX are Aruba Capital Holdings. WXEX programs a classic hits format. Turning to sales, we do have some follow-up information for you on that deal that we told you about in the Clearing the Static Extra in Harrisonburg, Virginia. We now know the price tag that Saga is paying for the Verstandig stations there. $9,640,000 for 5 FMs, including WTGD 105.5, the station that was caught up in that geofencing deal. Verstandig is entitled to its receivables 150 days after closing, according to Tom Taylor. And it's hired BIA Kelsey to do an appraisal to allocate the items of the purchase price between the stations and its real estate. Turning now to a closing in Shreveport, Louisiana, and Longview, Tyler, Texas. The $13,750,000 sale between Access One and Alpha has closed. Larry Wilson stating in a press release, "These stations fit in with our goals of being live and local in Shreveport and Tyler, Longview." In Shreveport, those stations include KBBT 103.7, and in Tyler, Longview, the sale also includes stations such as KKUS 104.1. The broker is George Reed of Media Services Group. And you are now the most up-to-date person in the radio industry when it comes to format changes and station sales. For this week, that is all the news that is news. Remember to visit our website, clearingthestatic.blogspot.com. And if you have news to pass along, please send it to us, radionewsnow@ymail.com. That's radionewsnow@ymail.com. For this week, ending April 17th, press time, I am the Radio Kid, and that is your Radio News Now.
By downloading the show onto your computer, you can hear Clearing the Static anywhere. From the green hills of Ireland, to the streets of New York, to a nice quiet coffee house. Take the show anywhere you are by heading to the archive on our website at clearingthestatic.blogspot.com. And thanks for listening to Clearing the Static, online at clearingthestatic.blogspot.com. It's who we are. It's what we do. Radio geekdom at its best. This is Clearing the Static. ClearingTheStatic.blogspot.com.
And that is indeed who we are and what we do. We're Clearing the Static. I'm Jake Longwell. The Radio Kid is here too. And we welcome you to another edition of the program.
Yes, indeed we do, as spring has finally sprung, at least here in this part of the country.
That's right. And a lot to get to this week. We'll start off with an item in Radio News Now that, frankly, really surprised me. Radio Disney is back in radio.
Yes, they are, and they're back via HD2 and HD3, Jake. This move kind of surprised me as well. This is something I was not expecting whatsoever. I don't think anybody was, you know, especially considering their research that, you know, only 18% of people are actually listening to our terrestrial radio signals. We don't need radio. We're going to be an online distribution. You know, I told you from the beginning, I didn't buy any of that. And I never did buy Disney's numbers. Now, I have a lot of thoughts on them being on HD, but let's try to analyze this first, and then I'll kind of get into my ramblings about this. So they're going to be on as many as up to 60 HD2 and HD3 radio stations, pretty much. And they're going to be supported and sold by the HD ad network and the HD monitoring network, which basically is going to allow for national platforms to be distributed via HD. And of course, Radio Disney is a national platform. So I kind of see what's going on. Radio Disney, it's kind of like how in Britain or in other countries there are national offerings on the digital sub-channels.
Well, on the analog, for that matter.
Right. I'm kind of thinking, now granted, I'm having trouble putting all of this together myself. Jake, I sent you the foreword with the news story and the press release in it. But that's my idea. Maybe I have the wrong idea, but that's kind of what I gathered from what the HD the ad network and the monitoring networks are trying to do. They're trying to get more it appears to me they're trying to get more nationalized platforms on HD radio.
Yes, that would seem to be the case. And in all honesty, that's probably the one of the best ways to market HD. Like it or not, it's here to stay.
Right.
And if you can make something positive come out of it, you should. And so by bringing national content providers like Radio Disney into areas that had it and no longer have it, or maybe some areas that never had it, like perhaps maybe Buffalo or Rochester here in upstate New York, you are giving people a listening choice on the radio, HD, but radio no less, that they didn't have before.
Right. I, you know, I understand. Look, I'm going to be very honest with you. And people who have heard me in the radio chats and elsewhere, you know how I feel about HD radio. And this technology, it's such a flawed, failed technology. And Bob Struble and everyone else over at Ubiquiti, they're at a point now where they are grasping for straws. Because the only thing they can get their failed technology to do is be a relay for analog translators. And I don't think they're very happy about that. So the only thing they can do now is partner with these national platforms to try to gain some kind of invisible traction. To kind of say, well, look, we've got this national broadcaster in 60-some-odd markets, and woohoo, look at us, and they're partnering with us.
You know, I've got a feeling, though, in all honesty, even if this proves to be successful, you're still going to shoot it down because it's HD.
I don't think anybody's going to go for it.
Yeah, but that's what you think.
I say
give these people a chance. Hey, I'm glad to see that they're at least doing something different with the medium. It's not going to be just an automated jukebox programmed from the closet of the local radio cluster.
Right.
It's something different.
Right. It's definitely going to be something different. I mean, I can think of a couple other broadcasters I would like to see take this approach, Caleb, that, you know, I think would be more beneficial to them, you know, especially for other services that cannot be heard. But, you know, it also comes down to, you can put your programming out there, all right? But if you're putting it on a dead technology that no one has nor cares about, nor one that works properly, it's pointless. And this thing is, I feel sorry for Radio Disney here. I really do, because they probably honestly believe they're going to have, you know, this renaissance back in radio where they can reach households and families and people like that via radio. Well, I've got news for Disney. The average person doesn't own an HD radio and probably never will own an HD radio. And the average people who do own an HD radio, if they get an HD radio, if they have any common sense, they'll probably throw it away after 2 weeks of having the thing because the technology is so crappy.
See, but see, you're biased though, Radio Kid.
Maybe I try not to be, but
I honestly think, and I'm not saying it's going to succeed with flying colors. I don't know how it's going to come out. I'm somebody that is trying not to be so pessimistic about things. I'll admit that a lot of times in my life, especially recently with things not going quite the way that I thought they would go, I try to see I've always been seeing the glass as half empty.
Right.
I'm trying to see the glass as half full for myself. And I have to at least give these people credit for trying. And I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying that this is gonna succeed. It may very well fail the way that you think it's going to, and frankly, the way I think you want it to, because you hate this technology so much. But if it brings people to HD because the kids say we want to hear Radio Disney, so the parents go out and acquire HD radios, or maybe they can convince HD Alliance could convince more car manufacturers to put HD in cars.
Right.
Then suddenly you've got more options for people to hear the HD technology.
Right. I mean, the programming options is the fact that, you know, they're putting this out there. Okay, I give Disney credit for trying to get back onto the radio. Now, it was stupid of them to give up their AM coverage in the first place then, because frankly, they're going to get more listeners with the big AM signals than they are going to get with these HD technologies.
I'm not so sure about that, because if you can get an HD signal that works, that functions,
right,
you'll hear the station in FM quality, not AM quality.
Correct.
And with Disney's CHR lean these days, I contend that FM stereo quality is a must for this music. You can't reproduce the sound of today's top 40 on AM. This isn't the 60s and 70s anymore. You just can't do it. With all of the nuances of today's top 40 radio, it just you can't. The quality is just it's like comparing apples to oranges.
Well, if they want to do that, then they need to ensure that the HD2 or HD3 that they put the signal on actually works in the inner city or wherever the big metropolitan is that they want people to hear the station.
Absolutely.
So that means that if you have a station that has a city of license that's 5 miles away from your big city, I would not put that on that HD2 or HD3, because you don't have a guarantee that that's going to penetrate very well into the city. Remember, these are weak digital signals.
They're one tenth of the power output. So I have to correct you here. I mean, yeah, they're weaker than their analog counterparts. But if you put the HD2 on the programming, rather, on the HD2 of, let's say, a 50,000 watt FM station, that HD2 is going to be 5 kilowatts. That is almost the maximum limit for a Class A.
Right.
So I'm sorry to tell you that, you know, that's not going to be some dinky 10 watt nightlight. 5,000 watts on FM will go pretty far.
Right, and I'll grant you, I've never heard the signal of an HD radio, so I don't know if, you know, especially if you're in a car and you're in a city, especially around buildings, I don't know if it'll drop out like HD TV does. Never having heard it, I don't know how reliable these signals actually are.
Right, and honestly, neither have I. But it stands to reason
I just feel really bad because, you know, I would feel bad for anyone in that situation, possibly, where, you know, they put it on a signal and you're listening and all of a sudden just keeps, because you can't reliably, and it just keeps going in and out and in and out and in and out. And yeah, that's not going to work. So if they're going to try to put this innovative programming, and I do give Disney credit. I mean, I feel sorry for them, but I don't,
because they've got money to throw away.
But I think. You know, they need to make sure that they're on solid signals if they're really going to do that. But I'm saying I still think they are going to be sorely disappointed. You want to talk about 18%? That 18% listenership is going to become reality, if not even lower numbers. I am still convinced Disney had a higher listening percentage on AM radio than what they told us. And I think that by getting rid of their AMs and going on this technology, they are only hurting themselves.
Do you think that this whole HD launch was the reason for the sale of these AM signals?
Yes.
So do I. They just weren't ready to make that public.
Correct.
Or, okay, I won't say that had everything to do with it, but I think it had something to do with it.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, what do you think, folks? What do you think about Radio Disney coming back to radio, sort of? And how do you feel about the HD Alliance and other HD advocates trying to breathe new life into this technology? I know that a lot of people absolutely despise the technology and have no use for it. And I can understand why. I'm not saying it's perfect, but it is here. And if we can make it work, if we can offer more programming choices to compete with satellite and internet on terrestrial radio, we should do it. But that's just my opinion. So you can share your opinion. We want to hear from you. We want to know what you think. Radio News Now at ymail.com is the address you should use.
Yes, indeed. So please send us an email and let us know what you think.
All right. Now, we're probably going to spend the rest of the hour talking about this topic here, because this is a very interesting topic. And one of the commissioners of the FCC made some very profound statements recently concerning pirate radio.
Yes, Michael O'Reilly.
Yes.
Who is one of the two Republican commissioners. According to Tom Taylor Now column, he has said he would like to be able to give private the commercial operators the ability of limited private court practice to sue the operators of pirate radio stations.
And essentially taking the FCC out of the equation.
Correct. Now, this comes amidst after the FCC's plan to shut down 16 out of the 24 field offices. Many broadcasters in a big worry because of this, and worried that, you know, what's going to happen to enforcement. And O'Reilly is saying, let's just take the FCC out of the equation and allow broadcasters to sue.
This is going to be very interesting if this happens. Now, I will admit I'm unprepared. I did not see a list of the field offices scheduled or slated for closure. Do you know if Buffalo is among them?
Buffalo's been gone for a while, I thought.
No, I think that's still around.
Yeah, I think Buffalo is among them, because the only one they're talking about keeping open in this part of the country is New York.
All right. Well, this is going to be very interesting, and I'll tell you why. The way the rules are now, unless I misinterpret them, and again, somebody please tell me if I'm wrong, but from the times that I've had conversations with other broadcasters about this sort of thing, the only way that the FCC will bust a pirate is if it can be shown that that pirate actually caused interference to an existing licensed broadcaster. In general, if it's shown that you are not causing interference to a licensed broadcaster, for the most part, they'll leave you alone. Some pirate stations have been on the air for years and have not been busted. I think what you're going to see here is you're going to see more laxity in terms of enforcement of anti-piracy regulations. And I think you're going to see more pirate radio, and I think you're going to see many stations that will be able to exist for years before getting busted, if they're ever busted at all.
Right, because here's some of the things that you're looking at. One, the FCC, the reason that there are so many proposals now for being more lax on enforcement is because the FCC is understaffed as it is. You know, it doesn't have the money or the resources to take care of these things. And as someone on a Capitol Hill blog noted, you know, the FCC has been hampered by, like, the sequestration and the shutdown and everything else that's been going on with our government, even though they are basically an independent resource. They still get certain appropriations from Congress, and that's hampered them, and their budget has constantly shrunk.
Right.
So I think that's part of it. The other thing is, now let's just say that O'Reilly's idea becomes law.
Which I honestly think it will.
It will. Now let's just say this happens. Well, to take somebody into court...
On what grounds?
Oh, you're causing interference, or, oh, you're taking away our listeners, so we are going to sue. Okay.
And how many judges would actually take that case?
Yeah, that's what I wanted. Well, besides that, you know, the station is going to have to pay costs to deal with that. They're going to at least have to pay attorneys and other things unless, you know, they...
Well, you can take someone to court without... You can represent yourself legally if you want to.
Right. Well, from what I understand, in small claims court, you can.
No, I think in criminal court, too.
Okay.
You can represent yourself. Or you can have anybody. You could have your mother represent you instead of a lawyer if you want to. That's your legal right to have representation of any kind.
Right. You know, but I can't see, like, iHeartMedia, which is, you know, with its big budget whatever problems, you know, oh, there's this big pirate, let's take him to court. Wait a minute, do we really have the money to spend on it? No.
Well, I think it depends. I think it depends on, well, actually, I can cite an example of a station not caring about interference. If I may.
Go ahead.
A real example. Maybe I told you about this off air. If I did, then you're going to hear it again. And if you didn't, or if I didn't, then you'll hear it and listeners will hear it. Back in the late 90s, you and I both remember WHCD.
Yes, yes.
Smooth Jazz, 106.9. The tower was in Auburn, New York. And I, at the time, was living in Bath, where I grew up, 75 miles away. Now, that 106.9 FM signal was one of the most potent FM signals in the region. And when it flipped to Smooth Jazz, I was very excited because I could hear the music that I liked on a powerful frequency. Along comes our local hospital. Now, they, like many other hospitals, are involved with a service which I think still exists called Companion Radio, which essentially is for elderly and seniors living in nursing homes and other living communities, mainly connected with hospitals. And they have different networks that provide different types of programming. Well, they're supposed to operate these companion radio services. They're all beamed from satellite. They're supposed to operate on Part 15 FM transmitters, so pretty much only covering the grounds of the hospital. Well, companion radio, I don't know if this is still a problem, but they were notorious for having transmitters that were very out of whack. And the signals were going farther than they were supposed to. Our local hospital in Bath put companion radio on 4 FM frequencies, and I don't know what they were thinking. I don't know what the companion radio folks were thinking when they chose those frequencies. 3 of the 4 that they chose were lousy because there were distant signals, high-powered signals, that you could hear very well in Bath on those frequencies. One of those was 106.9. I called WHCD in Syracuse as a listener, and I complained. Their chief engineer called me back, and we had a nice conversation, actually. We talked for almost 2 hours about radio, but the whole gist of the conversation, though, was he told me, "Well, Mr. Longwell, you live 70-some miles away from the transmitter site. You're not even in our protected coverage area. I know you can hear us down there." He said, I've heard the station in Bath just fine driving through on Route 17. But I don't think there's anything I can do because I don't think the company is going to send me down there to investigate the interference because you're not in our protected contour.
Right, right.
He acknowledged that, yeah, this is a pirate and they definitely should be turned in or ordered to change frequency or go off the air. But he did not see his boss, Butch Charles, taking any interest in this.
Now, I have to wonder if, you know, if you were in the protected contour of 106.9, like if you were in Syracuse,
right,
for example, right, if the reaction would be different.
Oh, I'm sure it would have been, even if I was in here in Geneva or up in Oswego where you are. I'm sure the reaction would have been very different.
Right.
And the hospital wouldn't have had a leg to stand on.
Right.
But because it was 75 miles away, not in the protected contour, they had no advertisers down that way. They had, as far as they could determine, one lousy listener in rural Bath, New York. They didn't care.
Right. And I think that's going to be the situation with a lot of, especially distant stations, that get pirate interference. Now, if you're talking about bigger cities like Miami or New York, I think it's going to be a different story because you have a lot of pirates and you have a lot of stations.
Right, absolutely. And remember, too, that New York, New Jersey, and Florida have their own piracy laws. Mm-hmm. And the FCC doesn't even need to get involved.
Right.
You can go through your local police department. And see, in those states, the broadcasters have more of a leg to stand on.
Right.
And so I wonder if you might, maybe as a reaction to this, maybe you'll see similar laws in other states.
Right.
That's a possibility too. But I still contend you will see more piracy and you'll see more stations getting away with it. And I'm gonna come right out and say this. I'm going to say this in a public forum. You know, in some cases, I'm for it.
I am too.
Not because I want to deny people the right to hear existing licensed broadcasters. I don't. But I feel that this industry is so damn corrupt. And the laws, the rules, the regulations favor the iHearts and the Cumuluses and the other companies, you know, large and small, that have strangleholds on their radio markets. And okay, I concede, you know, that they've conceded and they've let LPFMs in twice now, but they've still cracked down on the rules and you know, we community groups like ours had to grovel and beg and grovel and beg. And even then, a lot of us didn't get in for various reasons. We were denied our opportunity. So in some cases, if you're providing services that the broadcasters in your area have no interest in providing because they won't make money off them, as long as you aren't causing any interference to those stations, I honestly think they should just leave you alone.
You know, and here's the other thing. Here's what gets me. You know, and you know, even for LPFMs, and I know this is going off and on into another tangent, but I don't even think LPFMs are fair. Because you have to be a nonprofit. You have to be, you know, it has to be this silly thing. You can't run commercials. No, the commercial broadcasting is only reserved for the iHearts and the Cumuluses and the Entercoms and the whoever. If you Jake Longwell or myself as Serena Radio Kid, it is almost impossible for us as individuals to own and program a radio station. It is almost impossible for members of the general public to own and control radio.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%.
And you know, don't even get me started on this whole thing in Boston.
Yeah.
Oh,
go ahead. You might as well. We've only got
that Touch 106.
Right.
You know, when there is such a need for a service to a community that has a 25%, if not higher, African American population, and you people in the radio industry sit there and condemn Touch 106 and celebrate because they got busted and don't even care that the African American community isn't getting served. And yes, Scott Feibusch, I'm even talking about you. You know, that is a shame that this industry is so bound to its corporate laws that where we can say as an industry, oh no, the African American community, they're not entitled to be served
unless we decide to create a format for them.
No. Unless we can make enough money off of a format to serve them.
Well, yes.
Unless it makes us a profit.
That too.
Right. We're not going to serve them, and then to say like they're not entitled to, you know, to a service. Like, and we don't know what we're talking about. Well, you know, that to me, that is the shame, that we in the industry are so bound to this.
Right, and I'm not. You're not advocating a free for all. Everybody, fire up a transmitter on any frequency you want and cause any interference that you damn well please. We're not advocating for that.
Not at all. But, you know, the last time I checked, your license says you are supposed to serve the public interest, convenience, and necessity. And the last time I checked, the African-American population of Boston is part of the public. The Haitian population in New York City is part of the public. The Caribbean population in Miami is part of the public. The female population of Oswego, New York is part of the public. The 18 to 34 year old and high school students of Geneva, New York are part of the public. The Chinese immigrant population of Los Angeles are all part of the public. Yet these are groups that are not being served by terrestrial radio. Yet when somebody fires up a pirate that tries to serve them on a frequency that does not interfere with anything else, oh my God, they're breaking the law. Let's have a hemorrhage. Oh my God, this is so illegal. This is so wrong. Oh my God, heart attack. Call in the FCC. Let's put these guys in jail. Like, are you people crazy? Have you forgotten? Obviously you have. You have forgotten what we are in this industry for. You have forgotten why we're in this industry. This industry does not exist to support your pocketbook. This industry does not exist so that you can get mightily rich and high and mighty and look at your corporate stocks and have these big parties with your advertisers and come out with this salary that's in the, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, in the millions. This industry exists to serve the public interest, convenience, and necessity. That doesn't mean some of the public. It means all of the public.
I couldn't have said that better if I tried. I mean that, and I am in 100% agreement with you on that. So as far as I'm concerned, go ahead and be more lax, FCC. And you know, if community groups and other individuals feel justified in serving their community, as long as they're not causing any legitimate interference to existing broadcasters, I don't think they're going to have a thing to worry about.
No. Nope, I don't either.
So, and you know, you and I'm sure we'll talk more about this off air. I'd like to talk more about this off air, but there are some things I would say off air that I really wouldn't say here on air.
Right.
But so this is going to be a very interesting happening if indeed it does develop. Now, we've only got a few minutes left. See, I knew this was going to take up most of the hour. And there's something else I wanted to talk about that you touched on in the news. A very interesting format idea. And I have a few things to say, and I have a feeling you do too. So I'll let you talk first.
I'm going to assume you're talking about the new Pot Talk station in Colorado.
You read my mind, my friend.
Okay, well, I'll try to make this as quick as possible. It's definitely an interesting idea. I am not opposed to this idea, and it's surprisingly, because I am opposed to marijuana use and its legalization. But if you are operating in a state where marijuana is legal, basically what SoCo is trying to do, it's trying to take an AM radio station that's dead in the grave, and it is trying to attract an actual following and maybe even a following by younger people. And you know what? I love the idea. I hate the legalization, but I love the idea. You know what? Go with what you got. This is definitely going to be an interesting format and an interesting approach. I am hoping it is not a stunt. I don't believe it is a stunt, because they have reserved and actually changed the call letters to KHIG. So I don't think this is a stunt. I'll be very surprised if it is. This is actually a great, bold move in radio. Whether or not the federal authorities will do anything about it, or whether or not they see this as a conflict, remains to be determined, and we'll have to wait and see what happens with that one.
I agree with most of the points. I will come out and say I have no problem with pot legalization. I don't smoke it myself. Personally, I can't stand the smell. But I feel, from the research that I've seen and from actually talking to people that I know, it's one of the less harmful illegal recreational drugs out there. And I have issues with the fact that we can let people get pissed drunk anytime they want, as much as they want, but someone can go to jail because they like the 420 occasionally. I don't agree with that, but that's another topic for another type of program. But I will say that in connection with my feelings on that subject, I think that there is nothing wrong with having open debate and discussion about this issue. because whether we like it or not, whether certain generations of people or certain people of political or religious persuasions like it or not, it's here to stay. And I think those laws are here to stay. But let's not have our minds ruled by what I consider outdated stereotypes or ideas. And let's have open discussion and debate about this issue, because whether people like it or not, it is an issue. And it's going to be an issue for years to come. So having the discussion in an open forum like this, I think, is great. And I hope the station proves to be successful. And yes, you brought up a point that I hadn't thought about, bringing some younger people in Colorado to the AM dial. That could very well happen.
I think it will happen. I honestly, I think it will. And I think AM radio needs this kind of innovation.
It absolutely does.
You know, SoCo Radio is one of the more interesting operators that I've seen with you know, with what they do with a lot of their properties. They're the ones that do the split time programming.
Which split time programming are you referring to?
They've got a station at 101.3 in Pueblo, Colorado Springs that's doing soft AC by day, smooth jazz by night.
Oh, yes, yes.
Another one in that market's a rhythmic AC by day. It's a dance CHR at night.
Again, very innovative concepts. And see, this yeah. and this is a small, more or less local regional company, right?
Right.
Again, there you go. Point taken. These guys are not bound to some corporate suits halfway across the country, so they can dare to be different.
Right.
So we'll see what happens with K-High. And what do you think? What do you think of the concept and the format? Send us your feedback. You know, it doesn't matter how you may feel about the issue. You're entitled to your opinion, and we want to hear your opinion. Radio News Now at ymail.com. Unfortunately, that is all the time we have for this go-round of the program.
Well, you've been listening to Clearing the Static from Geneva Community Radio. Hey, check out our website and send us an email if you can. And until next time, everybody, just remember, all you radio geeks and geekazards, video didn't kill the radio star. He just can't talk to us right now because he's on a cloud. He's K-High.
Thanks for listening to Clearing the Static. You may contact us at any time. Our email address is radionewsnow@ymail.com. You can comment on each show and check out our program archive on our website, clearingthestatic.blogspot.com. Clearing the Static is a presentation of Geneva Community Radio, which is solely responsible for its content.